thank you very much. Are you all okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am a crazy extrovert. I'm like 10 out of 10 extrovert. So what I kind of love when it comes to preaching and teaching and being in church is for like you to respond to me. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just shout down, say like, you look good, you sound good, Jesus, anything you want to say, like, pray for Liverpool, and anything else, no. If I kind of say something that encourages you, just feel free to kind of holler at me, shout at me, encourage me. That's kind of how I thrive. But before I talk about compassion, I always feel like this is a biblical thing that I'm about to do. I'm not kind of doing this to win brownie points, but I just really wanted to take just 2 minutes and just publicly honour your pastor. If you've been in church for any length of time, you know the Bible it says that preachers and teachers, they are worthy of double honour. And in the Bible, it's actually talking about finances. That seems to be the theme of this morning. But I think it's right to publicly honour pastors, ministers, teachers, preachers, vicars, whatever you call them, both with our words, with our prayers and with our thoughts, etc., etc. And for me, pastor, love them primarily people. But one of my friends is a pastor on the Wirral, and he's recently started out, and this just kind of summarises how great they are. My mate, he's a young pastor, maybe like 30 odd, and I went and met him for some coffee, and we were talking about compassion. I said, oh, I'm supposed to be going to meet Pastor Nick Johnson over in Liverpool. I know of him through a few people, and he said, oh, Nick is my mentor. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, I'm a new guy in ministry. And I had to pick somebody who like can preach the Bible, who's a great guy, great character, got integrity. And so I decided to ask Nick to be my mentor. And for me, in that moment, it just kind of confirmed everything that I'd heard about these guys through people. We have a lot of friends, and obviously when I met him, he spoke so passionately about the church. We spoke a little bit about theology as well, and kind of like that. And I loved how actually my job is to look after the whole of the Northwest. So I look after Chester, Cheshire, a little bit of Manchester, Liverpool and the Wirral. And out of all them regions, Pastor Nick is actually the first person to contact Compassion and invite us in, rather than me having to ring people. And he's an incredible man of God, and I work for a church as well, part of a local church. And there'll be things that he will do privately, there'll be weights that he'll carry privately, there'll be conversations that he has privately that you'll never know anything about. There'll be times where he'll give up family dinners, he'll give up his weekends, he'll give up an evening in with his wife, so that he can kind of be a great asset to this church. And so before we kind of come to the kids and I kind of preach from the Bible and you shout back at me, can we just really give him a round of applause? And so
you'll want a pay rise.
Amazing to how compassion works. I'm sure many of you know about it through church conferences, women's conferences, etc., etc. But if you don't, how compassion works is we're a child sponsorship mission organisation. We partner with local churches in England, and we partner them with 25 of the poorest countries around the world. We do person to child sponsorship. It's £28 a month. At the end of the service, I am going to ask you to get involved if you feel able. I'm just going to throw that out right from the start so you don't feel like I'm conning you all. It's totally not. We partner with churches in the UK, and we partner them in Africa, Brazil, Thailand, 25 different countries. And we truly believe like the church is the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. And so we partner, it's monthly sponsorship, it's above and beyond your local tithes. I'm asking you today to get involved in our organisation and stop tithing to your local church. It's a biblical pattern that you bring your tithe into the storehouse, and I want you to keep doing that. I'm not saying stop tithing to the church. I'm saying above and beyond tithes, above and beyond your taxes, above and beyond your bills, could you potentially contribute £28 a month and release HR from poverty? And we're going to look at some slides in a minute and celebrate all the work that you're already doing. And that's incredible. But maybe you're in here today and you don't currently sponsor, or you've never heard of us, then I would love for you to get involved. You can come and see me at the table. I'm positioned very cleverly next to the coffee, so I won't miss any of you, and I can fill you in. But let's kind of look at the work that you're already doing as a church. Is that okay? Amazing. Let's go on to the next slide. Thank you, Jane. 36 children's lives, which is incredible. You can kind of feel really proud right now. 36 kids. I think you're in my top five churches across the whole of the Northwest for an engagement. And I don't mean this to belittle you guys. I work with churches from 15 people all the way to 500, and for you guys to sponsor 36, I reckon that's probably one in three people in this church. couples are probably sponsoring, which is incredible. And I just want to publicly honour all of you and say thank you for that. Finances is such a tense subject. Me and my wife are saving for a mortgage, and we have two compassion children. So I know how hard it is when that £28 leaves your bank account, and that means you can't go to Nando's. That means you can't go to the football match. That means that you can't save up for that new kind of trainers. You can't give money to your grandkids, whatever kind of bracket you fill in. So I just want to publicly honour you. Moving on to the next slide. You have 8 kids in Kenya, 4 in Rwanda, 3 in Peru, 3 in Uganda, Guatemala, Ghana, and 12 in 8 more. And the profiles that I've brought today, they're spread from all over the world. And Pastor Nick was showing me in the church building that you have a map on the wall and you have all your kids' faces and they're connected to all the countries, and it was incredible. I took a picture and sent it to my bosses, like, look at this church. They are just kind of changing lives all over the country, which we really love. Moving on to the next slide. 108 letters and 50 sent. We have apps, we have websites, you can do paper form. We have loads of ways for you to communicate to the kids. So we're kind of not just about the money, we're about the relationship side of it as well. We truly believe in you writing to your kids, sending pictures. I do it via the app, and I just send selfies normally of me and Chelsea. Send them our wedding pictures. We send them pictures when we got a house. We send them pictures when we got married. When anything that happens, we just tell them. And it's not to rub it in their faces, kind of how great my life is. But I was recently in Togo, and I met a young kid, and I said, "What's your dream in life?" And it's very similar to what my dream in life is. This little child, they wanted to get married. They wanted to have a house, and they wanted to have a car. It might look slightly different, kind of, I live in Cheshire, so my house might be slightly different to them, and the car that I drive, it might be slightly different, but our kind of dreams and aspirations to get married, be a great parent, have kids potentially, be successful in our work life, our dream of having a house one day, it's very same. It's very similar in their country, regardless of the poverty. It just maybe looks a little bit harder for them. It's a lot more difficult to do that. But yeah, so tell them everything that's going on in your life. They love hearing about it and they love writing back. Let's go on to the next one. You've got 20 girls and 16 boys. And the next slide is one of my favourites. More than 31,000 hours at the project have been spent here with the children. 7,832 meals provided, which is incredible. 178 medical checkups. So out of the £28, Compassion, we take 12%. 3% of that 12 goes to Compassion International. Because we work in all different countries, and kind of the rest, which I think is about 8-9%. I was never that good in school. But 9%, that comes to Compassion UK, and that pays for, like, my wage, thank you Jesus. And that pays for kind of all the majority of it is going. But when it goes to Compassion International, that tiny 3%, that covers all the medical checkups. Every child gets 2 medical checkups a year, and so do one of their parents. And that's all funded through this £28 a month, which is incredible. 36 Bibles, I kind of love that stat. For me, getting Bibles into people's hands is really important. It's where traditionally only the pastor would have a Bible, and Compassion are kind of breaking that down and saying, no, we want to give Bibles to kids, to mums and to dads, which we love. Onto the next slide. And that is that over £12,000 from this church has been sown into releasing children from poverty, which is incredible. And we're very thankful for that, and I'm sure the kids are too. And an additional 19 gifts have been given. And so what that means is at Christmas or your own birthdays, you'll get a reminder and you can choose to give your child a gift. And I say this at a lot of churches, so hear my heart right. I'm not trying to dampen your generosity, but to just put into perspective, in Togo, where I was recently, it's £42 a month. And that would provide a house, a motorbike, and food for the kids. That was the monthly average wage for them to live an above poverty style life. And so when it comes to gifts, I'm not gonna kind of tell you what you can and what you can't. Gives you're all far more mature than me and probably more intelligent, and you know what your money looks like. But just kind of don't feel any pressure to give a stupid in a most faith sense way, kind of a stupid crazy amount, because any gift that you give is a huge blessing to these people. I know people who've given £5, and that's bought school books and bags. And I know the story of a lady in America, and she gave $100 to her kid, which is 2 months' wages for her parents. And that was able to buy bikes for the whole family. So anything you give is an incredible gift. But yeah, kind of have that mindset of £142 a month is what they need as a monthly wage, and we don't want to kind of cripple the society and the economy whatsoever. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. And the last slide is all the beautiful kids that you kind of work with. And my favourite, not that you should have favourites, is this guy at the bottom, because he looks considerably taller than me. I prayed to Jesus that I would grow to 6 foot, but he didn't kind of answer that prayer. I'm not quite sure why. I'm moving on to the last slide. And we just want to say you make an incredible difference, and maybe you should give yourselves a round of applause. And then we'll talk to you. Amazing. I am slightly nervous because my English teacher is in the room, and Siobhan Bell, as I knew her, Ms. Bell, was my English teacher in school. And before I came into the auditorium this morning, and in the car on the way here, I turned to my wife Chelsea and I said, "Hey Chelsea, my English teacher is going to be in this school." And she's like, "Oh, that's amazing." And I said, "Yes Chelsea, I was not a Christian when I went to school. I became a Christian maybe about eight years ago after I left my high school. I went to 3 high schools in 3 years because I was a problematic child." I know you can't believe it. I know you feel like, "Gosh, I can't believe that about that guy. He looks like a brilliant Christian boy." And that is very close to the truth. But in a minute, I'm about to read the Bible to you. And if you're like, "This guy is filled with grammatical errors and I can't understand what he's doing," I am just a product of the teaching that I'm seeing. I'm really joking. I saw it outside. I was like, "Hey, I'm so sorry for all the trouble I caused you in school." I was preaching at church 2 weeks ago, and my geography teacher was there as well. I had to do the same apology. I feel like God's teaching me humility very slowly. And he does, yeah. And I was preaching at a youth event last year. I do a lot of youth and young adults events. And I was preaching there, and kind of 200-300 kids were there, and I was ministering at the ends, laying on hands, all the works. I'm a full-on Pentecostal. And I was going for it. And I was on a spiritual high, and then at the end this little girl came up to me, and she was like maybe 13, 14, real sweet kid, and she's like, "Luke, can my mum speak to you?" I was like, "Yeah, of course you can, don't just minister to the kids, I minister to the adults, yeah." And it turned out to be my science teacher, and I was so embarrassed. I went from like an incredible spiritual high to like, "Jesus, I need you now more than ever before." And she looked me dead in the face, and I was like, genuinely close to tears. I was a cheeky kid. I imagine you can kind of figure that one out. I was just quite cheeky, and she started crying, and she said, "Luke, out of everybody in the school, I would never have picked you to be a Christian." And I was like, "Well, I'm actually an ordained minister as well. I'm not just a Christian." And she was like, "Jesus is real. I will never doubt him again." And in that moment, honestly, I could have seen people, anything could have happened in that moment. But as I kind of turn to the Bible, all jokes aside, I'm here to kind of really disciple churches. I work for Compassion. I'm all about the charity life and kind of giving them money. But I'm not here to do a massive plug on poverty. I'm here to equip you to go into your Monday, your Tuesday, and your Wednesday, and hopefully be slightly more in love with Jesus and feel slightly more compelled into action, and hopefully feel called to sponsor a child. But that's like a byproduct of just falling more in love with Jesus. Is that okay? Yeah. Amazing. Luke 10 says this: "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and said, 'Teacher, what do I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus replied, saying, 'What is written?' He answered, 'You shall love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind.' Jesus replied, 'You've answered this correct.'" And the guy was trying to justify himself. He was trying to trick Jesus. And he said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered, and I'm sure you maybe have heard this story in Sunday school. I kind of never, so this speaks to me on an adult basis. But if you've been in church any length of time, I'm sure you're familiar with this story. But it says, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves. And they left him for dead. They beat him up, they robbed him, and they left him for dead. And by a certain chance, a priest was walking along the road. And when the priest saw the beaten up man, he crossed over the road." Pastor Nick would never do that. "And likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the same place, he saw him and carried on walking. But a certain Samaritan, who was an enemy at the time," they wouldn't talk, a little bit kind of like Evertonians in Liverpool, maybe even, it was a lot more deeper, this was in heaven, it was almost borderline racism, there was so much hatred between them. And so Jesus very specifically picks out this guy, a Samaritan. "And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, he poured oil and wine on them, he brought his own animal, and he took him to a local inn to take care of him. And the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of this man, and whatever you spend, I will return and pay back to you. And Jesus asked the lawyer, so which one of these do you think was his neighbor? And the lawyer replied, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And in that time, I've been away, been to Bible college, and I work for a local church, I work for Compassion. And at the start of this year, for the first time, I read the Bible from front to back, but in 30 days. I've read it before, but at the start of the year, a lot of people kind of go to the gym and do a little bit of a 30-day intensity. I'm not about that life, but I decided, me and a few mates, that we would read the Bible for 30 days, the whole Bible. And so what that works out at is about 42 to 47 chapters a day. It's pretty intense. So I'd wake up and read about 10, and then on my lunch break, I'd listen to 10. And then midway through the day, and then at the end of the day. And I finished it a week late because I went to Togo and I didn't take my paper Bible. I took it on my phone. And when I was out there, the president of the country just cut off the internet because that's apparently what he can do. And so I had no internet, so I couldn't read the Bible on my phone. So I went kind of the 7th, 8th of February, I finished the whole Bible. And what I find really interesting is all through scripture, for me anyway, I saw a kind of recurring theme, a recurring pattern, and that is when there's one faith-filled believer and they're obedient to God, we can see incredible things happen. I kind of written down some examples. What about the power of Noah and his obedience to God to save his whole family from the flood? What about the power of Daniel's dedication to God and it helped change the political landscape of his time? He was so dedicated to God that even politicians and presidents of the age started to believe in a Jesus, started to believe in Father God at the time. What about the power of Ruth's loyalty and kindness to her mother-in-law that helped change the generations of her future families? And I don't know what your mother-in-law's like, but evidently mine is amazing because my wife's here. I love my mother-in-law to bits. I'm sure like many of you men as well. Thank you, Nick. What about the power of Andrew's invite in the New Testament that saw Peter get saved? Because all through church life and in the scriptures, we see Peter as kind of this focus point, and he definitely is. But if it wasn't for his brother Andrew's invite, we would never have Peter. And maybe some of you in here need to kind of strike up an Andrew spirit in you and start inviting some people to church. What about the power of the nameless little boy who so sacrificially put his lunch in the hands of Jesus and said, hey, this is the only thing I've got, but I acknowledge who you are, and so I'll trust you. And he fed over 5,000 men. Because in the scripture, they would never count the women and the children. So scholars would say anywhere from 5,000 to 12,000 people were fed, all because a nameless little boy decided to put 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into the hands of Jesus. What about the power of Jesus, who came in the most humblest of way, born in a manger, as we all have heard recently, who grew into a man, grew in stature and wisdom, it says in Luke 2:42. And at age 30, he ministered for 3 years. That's it, 3 years, incredible. And at the end, he was killed in the most brutalist of way, on a cross. But the power of one man who came and took up the cross so that me and you can have life, so we can have the John 10:10 life as we see at the front of church, so that we can have a relationship with a living God through his Holy Spirit and through the sacrifice of Jesus. The power of one in the Bible is an incredible thing. One faith-filled believer, being obedient to God, can actually do incredible things. And I don't know your testimony, and you kind of don't really know mine, but what I do know is that when I put my life and everything that encompasses it, when I put my words, my thoughts, my finances, my actions, my marriage, I don't have kids, but one day I will make them, I will be giving them to Jesus. When I put even my football club, they seem to be doing pretty well at the minute in Liverpool, when I kind of put them to God, thank you, my friend. No, all seriousness, but when I put everything that I have in the hands of Jesus, he just seems to bless it and pour out favour and pour out his spirit upon it. And the power of one person can do incredible things. And I truly believe that if you in here kind of say, hey, God, I'm willing to be used by you, then he wants to do incredible things through you and with you. Nobody knows the power of a single seed planted and what that can do. One seed can reap a harvest. One seed can start a whole forest. And our lives are just seeds of faith. I love the story of Pedro Reyes in Mexico. My wife always laughs at this. I like motivational speeches, so in the morning, I'm kind of a little bit OCD, and I'm slightly ADD as well, so I'm like, you've got to love my wife, she has a bit of a challenge. But in the morning, I like the same routine. I like Chelsea to get in the shower first, so I have the bed to myself, thank you Jesus. And then when she gets out of the shower, I'm straight in the shower. I'm a one alarm type of guy. And when I'm in the shower, I like a motivational speech. I like a sports, kind of normally a boxing coach, to speak to me and say, "You are the man, you can do it. When you are down, you can get back up." And I don't know why, it just gets me hyped. And then normally when I finish, I put on like Oceans and this is from a motivational speaker, what I've researched, if it's true, and it's an incredible story. And when I'm in the shower listening to these things, they just get me going. I don't know about you, but this is a story called Pedro Reyes. He's a Mexican artist. And in Mexico, every year, 33,000 guns are confiscated every month from criminals, drug dealers, etc., etc. And the Mexican government, what they do is they confiscate the guns and then they give the guns to the local army. And it's kind of a cheap way of them equipping their army. And Pedro Reyes heard about this and he contacted the government and said, "Is there any way I can get those 33,000 guns a month?" And obviously the government said no, because they would never give that many guns to one person. And he started to explain that he was an artist, and what he wanted to do was melt down the guns and create musical instruments for them. So what used to bring the sound of fear into somebody's life could now bring the sound of joy and laughter and community. And so he persuaded the government, and now every single year he's given up thousands upon thousands of musical instruments to those less fortunate, all because one guy, he's not even a faith-filled believer, but one guy understood the difference that he could make for those less fortunate than him. Now let's just chuck God into the mix, the God of the impossible, the God of all-powerful, the God all-knowing, and let's imagine what we can do if we say, "Hey God, I'm here and I'm ready to be used by you. I'm ready to be used by you in my family, in my marriage, in my workplace, even to my neighbours." I don't know about you, but me and Chelsea, we moved house recently. We moved in with some family to save for a mortgage. And we have started to get to know our neighbour. He's called Neil. He's a taxi driver. That's my knowledge. But in the Bible, of how much people, when they're in line with God, they just start to influence and impact people right next to them. And here I am in a new house with a new neighbour. And how much have I taken time out to invite him to church? To get to know him, to say, "Hey, what does your life look like?" And so every day he cleans his car. He's got a bit of an obsession with cleaning his car. I don't know why, but that's genuine truth. Every morning he just cleans, like, his car spotless, but he still cleans it. And so we just kind of made it a little bit intentional to get to know him and his wife Helen. And I don't know if they're going to come to church this year or connect with God, but what I do know is I've been positioned in that place, and he is my neighbor. And I'm believing in God and saying, "God, at every given opportunity, I'm going to step in and try and tell him about you. I'm going to step in and believe for you to open up a conversation. I'm going to be an example with my words. I'm going to be an example with my actions." And they truly believe that Neil is probably going to end up in church and going to end up saved. And I'm sure many of you in here, you've got people in your minds right now that you would love to see come to Jesus. Maybe it's a kid, a grandkid, an auntie, an uncle, even the person you sit next to in work. And I truly believe that if we put our lives in the hands of God, that he can do incredible things through us and in us. For me, when I see Jesus, he's my hero in life. He's who I aspire to be like. But when I see Jesus in the New Testament and all through that, I see Jesus continually run towards the masses. He runs towards people like Neil. He runs towards people like me before I knew Jesus. And we always see Jesus stop and create time for people. A lot of it is around food and community. But wherever he's going, he will always be in the midst of the mess. And I don't know about you, but I think it's the call of the church, big capital C, your church and my church, to run towards the messes. It's our job as the church to be down with people in the dirt and giving them hope and giving them a future through Jesus. Jesus did not turn anybody away. I think of the woman who bled for 12 years. She was isolated. She was outcast. She was completely separate from society. And as she walks towards Jesus, he's on her way to go and heal somebody else. And somebody grabs him and a little bit of power is released. And Jesus stops in the middle of a crowd and says, no. This lady who you would continually overlook, I now want to welcome in. And I think that's the call of the churches, for our neighbours, for our families, to continually be welcomed into church with no judgement. And to say, "Hey, you see this seat here? You can sit there. this church, you can belong here. This Jesus, you can get to know him. And that's kind of what we kind of preach in our church, is that everybody's welcome and everybody belongs, and I'm sure you do here. But I'm kind of more convinced and convicted every single day to just create a little bit of space for somebody extra to potentially get to know Jesus. And I kind of challenge you this week, who are you having conversations with about God? Who are you having conversations with about the church? As Pastor Nick said earlier, prayer is our first weapon. Who are you praying to come to know Jesus this year? Who are you praying for to come and know Jesus this month? Are you a faith-filled believer, being obedient to God and saying, hey, I want to be used by you, the power of one person, and I want to do some incredible things in my community. Does that sound okay? Yeah. We've got really quiet, I feel like. Yeah, we're going a bit tense now. And if we're being 100% honest, we're about seven weeks into this year. You got it. Who have I already told about Jesus? And if you haven't, today's a great day to start. And just challenge yourself afresh and say, God, I want to be used by you. And I think telling somebody and living out a Christian life is quite high on his agenda. After that, I think it is probably sponsoring a Compassion Child. But all through Jesus' life, I see him in the dirt with people who need him the most. And through Compassion, to kind of wrap this up, because I know you all have to be out of here for 1 o'clock. But through Compassion, we work in 25 of the poorest countries around the world. We bring hope to kids who are hopeless. And alongside the money, we don't just lift them from physical poverty, but we partner them with a local church, and so they have the ability to be lifted from spiritual poverty. And I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me going. And it's £28 a month, and I have a little kid here, and I only picked him because I love his name, because he must be an incredible kid, because they named him twice. He's called Kem Kem. My parents didn't give me that good a name. But it's £28 a month, and like I said earlier on, I don't know what £28 a month looks like to you. For me at the minute, it sounds crazy. That is part of my savings for our mortgage. Me and Chelsea, many of times, I've had the chat about should we cancel our Compassion Kid. Like, I'm just going to be honest, that's the way I'm wired. But a lot of the time, it's my wife stopping us cancel it, because for us, £56 a month, that's a lot of money. We're trying to save for a house. We cut down from 2 cars to 1 car because of jobs and finances. I also run like a little business as well. We've got a tax bill to pay. We got bills. I'm sure, like many of you, everything that kind of comes in, the pressures, birthdays, Christmas, our car broke the other week, and we just saved a little bit, and then it was £303 just to get the car fixed, and it's only a little rubbish Corsa anyway, and I was really annoyed. But for us, £56. Being 100, that looks like a lot of money, and it is, but I've had the privilege of going out and seeing these kids, and they literally have nothing. I went to one house, and we gave this woman some food, and she just started crying and saying, like, oh, this is the first meal I'm going to get this week, and I'm sat there in a hotel that night, and they're going to prepare me like fish and chips and steak, the works. And here's this lady just kind of really humbled and blessed that we provided the first meal of the week, and it's just like a dagger in my heart again, like, oh God, I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful for everything that we have, that even in like the worst of the worst in Britain, I'm still financially and kind of materialistically slightly better off than these kids. £28 a month, works out at 92p a day. 92p a day doesn't even buy you a can of Coke these days. It might get you a can of Coke, but it definitely won't get you an added Mars bar as well. It is to release poverty, both physically and spiritually. And so for me, I have the huge privilege of going around and preaching and teaching to people all about Jesus and falling more in love with him, and asking them to just prayerfully consider sponsoring a little Kem Kem. I've got loads of kids out on the table. And in a minute, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to watch a video, and then probably correct my wrong theology. And I'm fully thankful for that. But number one, thank you for sponsoring 33, 36 kids. That's an incredible. And keep getting involved with that. Keep writing letters. If you're near today, and you kind of are still there saying, hey, what can I do? This is a great avenue to tell somebody about Jesus before maybe you do it face-to-face, because we all find computers a little bit easier. This is a great avenue to disciple yourself, to challenge your generosity, and to plug you into a local church. And I think it's incredible what we do. That's why I work for them. And I'd hope that after I finish preaching in a minute and sharing a little bit, you would kind of just be stirred to action, that you would be challenged and convicted to not just stay in these four walls in this beautiful school, but actually to go into your communities, to go into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. and do everything we can so that people outside of these walls, also inside these walls, our churches are overflowing with people just on fire for Jesus. Young kids in Africa are getting saved and released from poverty because some crazy, faith-filled believer in Long Lane Church, being obedient to God, can kind of bless them and pour into them above and beyond tithes, above and beyond everything else. Does that sound okay? Mm-hmm. Amazing. I'm going to pray. Hopefully you've all learned something this morning. If not, I've just stirred your little hearts to be more passionate about Jesus. And I'm going to watch a video, and then Nick will get up. Amazing. Dear God, I thank you that you're real, God. I thank you that you're not a dead God up in heaven, and we're not distant from you, God, that you're close to us through your Spirit, through your Son coming to die. And I thank you for the incredible work that this church is already doing. Thank you for the generosity of people who every month give up £28 a month to see young kids in abject poverty be released, both physically and spiritually. And I pray right now, if there's anybody in here and they're debating sponsoring a child, God, that you would just speak to them as this video plays, that you'd minister to them. But more importantly than that, Jesus, I pray that we would all rise up and that we would leave here Monday through to Friday more in love with you, more desperate to preach to people, to tell people about the greatness of you, to be an example to our neighbours, to our friends and to our families of the work that you've done in our lives, that we're living testimonies of your goodness, Jesus. And let us never get tired of looking to the cross and being inspired by you, Jesus. If it's not for you, we might as well all go home, because it's all because of you, Jesus. It always will be because of you, and it always is because of you. And my prayer is that we just fall more in love with Jesus each and every day. And I thank you for Pastor Nick and Ange, for everything that's on their lives, for the sacrifices that they've made for this church. And I just pray that you bless them as they put out each and every week, each and every day, that you'd bless them, that you'd put a hedge of protection around them, around their marriage, around their kids, around their family. And for Pastor Nick, that you would just inspire him like never before to preach the gospel, to grow a great, healthy church in Garston, and to see your lost souls won into your kingdom. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's watch the videos, okay?
In the Philippines, it's so smelly, very dark water. You can see trash, rats, all of the crimes.
The friends that I played with in the neighborhood got captured and was being trained to become child soldiers.
In a given week, we'll go at least for 3 days without food.
We would beg our parents just to buy one apple, but even the rotten ones we could not afford to buy. I just want to taste it. I just want to eat that fruit.
In a period of 18 months, I lost my small brother Patrick, my mom, and I lost my stepdad because of the terrifying disease of HIV/AIDS.
When my mother died, I was lost. I was looking for hope, for God to just show me that everything was going to be okay. Not knowing what tomorrow will look like, not knowing whether I would have a home, whether we would live to see the next day.
I don't know why Aaron Mitchell decided to sponsor me, but when he did, my whole life changed.
A group of people from Compassion showed up at my church.
They said, you're gonna go to school, and then somebody's going to write to you.
I don't have to worry about whether my parents would have enough money to keep me going to school.
Even if I get sick, someone was there to take care of me.
I felt safe. I felt wanted.
My sponsor is Edwin Manuel.
Maria and Hans Ruh.
Aaron Mitchell.
5 women from the Lutheran Church that were sponsoring me.
I am now a physical therapist and I'm working in a hospital.
Clinical social worker.
I was the first child in my family to go to high school, to go to college.
I have a bachelor and a master in biomedical engineering, a second master in engineering management, and they called me into ministry, so I had to go and get a third master.
I have a ministry called Youth That Rise Africa that works with boys who don't have father figures.
We opened a small school. It's now providing the same opportunity that Compassion provided to me, so that they too can break out of the cycle of poverty. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me.
You do for me.
You did for me.
You did it for me. I sponsor a child today to break the cycle of poverty in a child's life, like my sponsor did for me.